The thing that naturally comes to mind, our natural response is kind of wonder and awe. I mean, it's worthy of reflecting on what we talked about last night, because it really, our faith is all Christocentric. It's Jesus. And so I'm not going to replay what I said last night, but last night was important. So I'm not downplaying last night, but this is really, really important also, what we're talking about today. Anyway, that's all we have, folks, for today. That was awesome. I appreciate you guys coming at 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, this is awesome. Thank you. Anyway, this is really important. And so we're introducing this idea of accompaniment. Now, this is the new big thing in the church today. Like, you know, it's a lot different. The conversations with movements and leaders and discussion about evangelization is a lot different than it was like 5 years ago, even 3 years ago. Everyone's talking about accompaniment, coaching, mentoring. Like, if you look at all the movements, that's what they're doing. They're not just offering a program. They're saying, we'll mentor you, coach you into it. So when, and I know there are some focused people here, and CCO, we've been doing it for a long time. This is not a new thing for us. It's, you know, it's what we do. So we're not jumping on the bandwagon. It's really our lived experience. So what I'm going to share with you today is not theoretical. It works. But I'm going to be speaking to you about principles. Like, the way you do it, it could be different in every situation, but I want you to be led by the principles, okay? So everyone's talking about coaching, accompaniment, the thing that Pope Francis is talking about, the sacred ground of the other. And so every person counts. It matters. It's all about the individual. But so accompaniment is good. But what's even better is intentional accompaniment. Because, especially because we're here as apostles, as missionary, we have a task. You guys aren't here to be entertained, but we're hoping you'll go back and you'll start something, you'll work at something. So you have a job, a task, like you're responsible for something. And so this intentional accompaniment is really important. You're not just here to hang out with your people, but you're intentionally bringing them somewhere. And it's a model of Jesus, you know, like the Great Commission. He says, go and make disciples, meaning you're making something. And actually, the beginning of his ministry, he says to the apostles, come and follow me, and I'll make you into fisher of men. So Jesus is very intentional about coming. He wasn't just here, the incarnation, to hang out with little children. Like, he had a task. He was bringing people from here to there. And this is why accompaniment's great, but intentional accompaniment is super great. Okay? So, how do we do intentional accompaniment? Okay? Well, I think it's as easy as 1, 2, 3, 4. Let me explain. Actually, you know what? I'm going to get you first to add a 5. The, you know, 4, circle, make a 5. And I want you to read that passage, and I'll let you know that Paul is a 4. I mean the 5. Paul is a 5. And put the name on top of the circle, who the person is in that passage, okay? So the 5 is taking care of the 4. The 4 is taking care of the 3. The 3 is taking care of the 2. 2 is taking care of the 1. So fill it in. So Paul is the 5. Who's the 4? Who's the 3? So take your time. Thank you. Okay, how'd you guys do?
Fabulous.
Okay, who's the four? Who's the four? Who's the four? Read it. Read the first line. How did Timothy find out what Paul said?
Witnesses.
Meaning somebody told Timothy. Through witnesses, what you have heard from me through witnesses. So, fail. No. Okay, so four is the witnesses. Who's the three? Timothy. Who's the two? And who's the one? Others, okay? So you could see that, okay? So you could see that there's a multiplication that's happening. There's a pushing forward that's happening. Okay? Now, this is a really... We're going to build it on this model, okay? But I want you to put underneath the one as a participant, okay? So I want you to refer... Okay, the one is a participant. The two is a leader. And the three is a pastor, the leader, the director, okay? Just put the father, okay? I want you to get a sense of who we're talking about. So the one is a participant, the two is a leader, and the three is the director, okay? So the present reality in the church today, for the most part, okay? It's different from parish to parish, but or even in movements, you have... In a parish, you have like 100, 200 participants going through baptismal prep, confirmation, you know, RCIA, youth ministry, even on church on Sunday, you know. We have hundreds of people that come to us weekly or, you know, in seasons, okay? And we have twos are leading all the ministries. How many twos might have in an average parish?
Ten? 10% of your population.
Well, no, how many leaders would we... How many different ministries would we have in a parish? Ministries. Yeah, like someone has to lead those things. How many do we have? Maybe 20? Do you understand? Like there's a bunch of different ministries. You go to the bulletin, all the different ministries. Someone has to lead it, huh? So how many, let's just assume 20 leaders. How many fathers do we have? Okay.
Maybe two,
but usually one, okay? Okay, so how is Father able, how does Father take care of his twos? How does he support his twos?
Send an email.
What's that? Did you just say send an email?
Yeah.
There it is. What else does he do?
Praise for them.
Praise for them? What else? Sends him down a program. I went to Steubenville. Here's a program. Let's do that. Maybe provide a training once in a while.
Yeah.
And ask for a report once in a while. There's very little he can actually do to support his twos. Okay? Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what's actually going on. How does Father feel about his ministry? The fact that he has 20 leaders he has to take care of. And he knows that, you know, they're, you know, not being cared for. Okay, so how is Father feeling about things?
Very overwhelmed.
Burnt out. Discouraged.
Not,
you know, what's that?
Not being free.
Exactly. He feels like, nothing's happening. So he feels like his ministry has no value. How does the twos feel?
We're tired.
Tired, burned out. What's that?
Not valued.
Not valued. What else?
Someone said isolated.
Yeah,
isolated, not equipped, sometimes bitter and angry, rogue, kind of like, I'm just going to do my own thing. Huh? I would say almost also sending up reports that are a little bit skewed. Yeah, things are going well. Some of our leaders aren't showing up. Some of our leaders, you know, things haven't... Anyway, do you understand? Our twos are feel kind of like... If they're a great leader, they'll be self-initiating and they'll do great things. But if you just take the 20, no. How are the participants doing? Are they all pumped up about everything we're offering? How are they doing? How are they moving through our ministries?
Minimalist.
Yep. Oh, you've got these.
Yeah, at best. Same people. Our participants are uninspired, unevangelized, and passing through the parish.
And uncommitted.
Uncommitted, just passing through the sacraments and then on the other side, back to normal. Youth ministry, they go because their parents, and as soon as that's done, they're gone. I mean, the numbers are showing it. Like, the hourglass, let's take out the hourglass, you know. Like, all these people are passing through our parish somehow, but they never get up here. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So, that's not good, huh? So, that's the present reality. So we need to do something about it. And I'm going to suggest the answer to it is add a 4. Okay?
Another 4?
What's that? No, on the next page here. I'm going, like... Okay, the next page.
The one that says easing is adding a 3.
Easing... sorry, not add a 4, add a 3. Okay, sorry. Okay, so what we're seeing here is Father, using him as an example, or you might be the youth minister or the director of whatever, you know, of evangelization in the parish, whatever it is. But we're using Father just as an example. Father has, actually, let's start with the ones, the participants. We have 100 participants, and we have 20 leaders. And those 20 leaders are being taken care of on a weekly basis or bi-weekly basis by every one of those leaders being met by somebody, by a 3, every week or every second week for half an hour about what they're doing in their ministry. So we have 3, maybe 4 threes. Father now meets weekly or bi-weekly with those threes to talk to them about how things are going with their twos. Okay? So no leader is on their own. Every leader is being accompanied, coached, supported. Do you get the concept? I want you guys to talk in your groups for a few minutes. Get descriptive, describe how Father feels now, how the twos feel, and how the ones are being impacted in an ideal world. Do you understand what I'm asking? So, in your small groups, talk. Talk, describe how Father's feeling right now, because he only has to deal with 3 people that are actually meeting with his 20 leaders. And how are the twos feeling, because every week they're being met by somebody and supported and encouraged. And how are the participants gaining from all this? Okay, go ahead. Discuss in your small groups and we'll open up to large groups. Do you understand?
I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do this. I thought about it, but this is like, okay.
So for instance, father and children's ministry.
We'll talk about that a little later. Right. Who that would be?
Excellent. This is great. This is really good. Okay, let's bring it together here. Okay, so what are some things that you heard or are kind of discussed in your small groups in regards to how fathers feel and how the twos are doing? What's the impact on the ones? Like,
I really like this idea and see in my own ministry how I'm going to add this three in here because, okay, so I'm in charge of catechists, and you know, you set them about the task and they go about their week to week task, and after a while, it's like they need to talk to somebody about it. They need to be acknowledged for the work they're doing. And they also might want to run an idea by somebody and say, I'm trying this, or this isn't working. You know, and so you have that I'm being seen and I'm being heard in here, which then I think will only keep them more interested in what they're doing, which will then just is going to get passed down to the participants because you're going to have a leader who is still on fire about what they're doing and motivated to maybe do it better.
So you're seeing a two that has a place where they can talk about their ministry, but also be strengthened in their ability to do what they're doing. So they're not just there hoping,
you know, like hoping that they get better. Excellent. Anybody else?
It's like Maggie was saying, it's like a business would run, you know?
Every business is run like this. Yeah, it's only the church that hopes. We have good intentions. Just go, you know, like, and the numbers, you know, the fact that we only have 1% of our people are intentional disciples says, you know, I think we'd go bankrupt. Like,
So a good businessman will pick somebody who's almost better qualified than they are to be a leader, and they can step back and know that leader is going to do exactly what they're supposed to do, and then they can deal with other things.
Yes. Yes. Excellent. Any other table there?
So the concept was brought up over here that it doesn't necessarily have to be a person that you're adding in. So she was mentioning they started having a minister's meeting where the ministers get together and have that sounding board to each other. Now, granted, it took somebody taking the initiative to set that up on a weekly basis, but having that ability to discuss your ministry within the group, having a support group, you know, yes, having a person available to be that oversight, be that mentor at that level, but just getting everybody together to support each other. So all your leaders need to be able to work together.
Yeah,
and not
yeah.
Just be out on their own, but actually come in together.
Yeah, I mean, there's creative ways you approach that. You know, like, so yeah, that's, you know.
I want to add to that, though. I think that having the staff prayer where we get together an hour a week, like, we don't have a staff meeting, we have staff prayer. And so Father initiating that has really made a difference in our.
Yeah, I mean, boy, excellent. That's a whole different level of discussion, you know, staff prayer. Not staff meeting. Wow. Okay, yeah, that's happening all over the place. So what you're saying is that, you know, finding creative ways to do, to have a three, whatever that looks like, yeah. So our twos are actually accountable to somebody. Go ahead.
And we are leaning into the ones experience that there'd probably be more conversions happening in the ones. They might be having a richer experience. And just a greater sense of commitment to that community because they're more like seen or heard, having more of a richer experience.
Yeah, they're not just passing through the program. Mm-hmm. We're stopping every individual and focusing in on every individual because the three is going to make sure that the two is doing that. So it's nobody's just part of the ministry. They're an individual that we're going to care for in the ministry. You know, they have a name. And so that name has to be a real foundational principle of this. Just a couple things is to let you know that, you know, the three, ones become twos. And twos become threes. And threes become fours. Meaning our whole thinking is that we're bringing individuals to a new place. It's kind of like they're kind of growing in their leadership. This system is the philosophy is that everyone, we want them to be a two. It might not be in the parish, but it could be in their family. At school, the list goes on. So all our ones, we want them to be spiritual twos. Okay? And then there will be some people that are called to be threes. So the model will foster that kind of growth. Any questions, comments? Yeah.
So are you inspiring us to ask our pastor if we could have a director, or are we assuming that somebody would step up and volunteer to be?
Okay, excellent question, but at the last session, we're going to talk about where we go from here, and then I'll kind of answer that question. Right now, I want you to get the concept, and then we'll.
Somebody just gonna step up and do it.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Okay. Anybody? Any other questions? Okay. So you can see this. In theory, this is awesome. Okay. Now,
I actually want to step back for a second. A lot of people talk about spiritual multiplication as a mathematical formula. You know, like if you focus on two people and then they multiply two people, that is not proven to actually work. Okay? So I say focus on multiplication not as a mathematical formula, but as a way of thinking. Meaning, I'm going to multiply myself. Some people might multiply themselves into 10 people. You might multiply yourself into one person. Meaning, multiplication is that I'm building up this person so they can build up somebody else. Okay? So it's not a mathematical formula. You know, we don't want it to look like, okay, let's judge it. Okay, if you focus in on two people, you focus in on two people. That's kind of like it's almost a formula. But if I say, hey, I want you, you're a great leader, I want you to multiply yourself. You got a great group there. How are you going to help them become not only evangelized, but leaders? And so that's the focus is a way of thinking, not a formula. Okay? Does that make sense? Really important because that everyone's talking multiplication as a formula.
Do you think is that just because every personality is different, so you almost don't want to limit or overly, I guess, impose too much?
Well, not even too much. It's just, there's different people that they're not really called to kind of, but they're multiply two people and then two people, you know. Mm-hmm. But they are called to multiply themselves, you know. But as soon as they have two people, they say, well, I only have one. Ah, what's happening? This is not multiply. Spiritual multiplication? No, you know it's a way of thinking about things.
So, can I one thing that really helps me with that is when I work with volunteers or even people in RCIA, I look at what their charisms are because I think that's where they multiply themselves. You know, it's where God has called them. So that may not directly multiply other people, but it's laid the fertile ground for mm-hmm. that to happen.
Yeah, there are many ways to skin a cat, but I'm not going to use that as an example. But charisms are going to allow people to engage in the situation differently. But it's the same principle. I'm going to multiply myself. It doesn't mean they're going to become clones of me. But I'm going to multiply the leadership and the vision and the love for Jesus and the discipleship into them so that they'll be able to do that to another person. So the charisms play a huge role in that, how that plays into it, that's where you have another week day to focus in on charisms, you know. But the principle is that I invest in you, so that you'll be able to invest in her, in such a way that she can invest in him. So that's a mindset. And it doesn't always turn out so perfectly, but my mindset is that. Now, that, I think, is the lost principle there. And, you know, I know we were really big into spiritual multiplication. We teach spiritual multiplication. But I think people, for the most part, were kind of turned off by the idea. You know, and then I remember one person a couple years asking, well, you've been around for 30 years. Where are you on that multiplication? The numbers, you know, and we were nowhere near. And so, but I'll tell you, we've had a huge impact on the church in Canada, and that's what matters. So, okay, so what I'm going to introduce right now is a very, so you understand? That makes sense. Okay. But now I'm going to kind of dig in a little deeper, and I'm going to talk about second generation mindset. This, I knew I just wanted to do that. There was no reason other than I just wanted to do that. You got really scared. Okay. This is really important, and this gets lost. And let me explain. I'm going to do it on the board,
Okay. Okay. Father, leader, participant. This is usually how we focus on accompaniment, okay? Father pours his life into the two, asking them how they're doing, training them, asking with their spiritual life, taking them to different things and really modeling and, you know, working with them and investing in this person. And so everything a father has, this is the best case scenario. Or say if you're discipling somebody, okay? You're pouring all your life into this person. So you're asking, the three is asking, how are you doing? Okay? So everything is poured into this person in hope that they'll be able to pass it on to that person. So it's like they are really spiritual directors to that person. Investing. And by the way, it's impossible. You know, like if you had a bunch of those, it's impossible to put that kind of time and effort into that person. And what usually happens is this person, especially amongst young people, but they just love to talk about themselves. So this meeting becomes, well, how are you doing? What's going on? And so the focus is up there. I was just and the accident is over here. I say, you do this. You do this. You move the line to here. Meaning the focus moves from here to here. Meaning, Jesus came not for the disciples. Who'd he come for?
Sinners.
The ones. But how would he reach the ones? Through the twos. So when Father talks to the two, yes, they're interested in how they're doing, but they've been tasked with a responsibility. So the question is, not how are you doing, but how's the one doing? I was just in a conversation with a staff member at the Diocesan Center, and she'd been, you know, in ministry for a long time. She's a young girl. She was discipled for a number of years. She goes, and after I shared this with her, and this is what she said, you know, like, I was discipled by somebody for 3 years. And all those years, she only talked to me. She only asked, how am I doing? But one day, she asked me, are the people in your study praying? And she said, she had no answer to that. But she said, that was the only question that I remember in the 3 years. Because usually, when we got together, it was, you know, boyfriends, you know, or struggles, or, you know, like disappointments, or, you know, it's like they became a spiritual director. Oh, I find it so hard to pray. And, you know, like, it's like self-absorbed, okay? I'm not saying that's a bad thing. You want to care for the twos. Don't get me wrong. I'll share how you actually care for the twos. But the most important thing is the three is equipping the two to care for the ones. So I need to be asking about Jake. I need to be asking, how is Jake doing? So I want to help the two be able to take care of Jake. Do you see that?
I want you guys in your group to talk a little bit about what you just saw and how that's new. Like, you know, what's go ahead.
So my question is, are the threes interacting with the ones, or are the threes only interacting with the twos?
Only, I mean, it's not that
so
they're the play.
Are the ones and saying, hey, Jake, how you doing? Or are the threes asking Susie?
No, three is asking the two, how's Jake doing?
Okay.
Not that three can't talk to the one, but when it comes to kind of coaching, this is a model by which we do it.
Okay, all right.
By the way, I'll add, go here one more time.
Okay,
this is what happens. Okay? So father is this. Father's asking his threes how the twos are doing.
Okay.
So go in your groups and talk for a little while. And then I want you guys to kind of ask the questions, because this, if you don't get this, I think my experience and what I'm seeing is that what we're doing here, if it's just this, what we've done is we've taken the model of gathering our leaders and giving a talk, okay, and imposing, a message upon them, instead of saying, hey, how are you doing? But imposing a message, teaching them everything, you know, giving them, but not accompanying them as individuals. What we've done is we're doing the exact same thing. This is training based. So here, let me tell you what you need to know. And then, hey, how are you doing? You know, like, this is actually not training. I mean, it's training. But it's, hey, training in as we go. Jesus always trained them as they were doing it. You know, like, okay, the rich young man, like, he said no. Okay, let's talk about that. That wasn't just, you know, the story didn't play out what we read. There's a whole backstory behind that. Jesus talked about that in the context of the rich young man, or the woman at the well, or the list goes on and on. He talked about them. He didn't just talk to them. There was times, said, where's your faith? You know, but it was always in the context of the people. So let's talk, and then I want you guys to really have good questions for me, because get this and you'll get the rest.
Big parish of that at five.
I
could see the scales for 10. Jesus came.
Absolutely. Yeah. But also, I need to direct some of it. Well, I think for me, it's realizing that you all can understand these are your five. These are your
share this up with he just has to have different perspective. But he, as a priest, he's going to still have to do sacramentals and counseling. You know, so now he has more time to do the shepherding of his people. But in principle, like Andrew,
right,
is five, okay?
Also
maybe six someday. He has new perspective on his job, just like in his business. You know, like, yeah, I was a manager, but now I'm an executive. I have to change the way my
what it doesn't take into consideration that maybe it assumes is that we help the community, that they are
Okay. Okay, we're going to take a break after this, but we're going to have an open session here. Any questions, comments? Oh, you have a question? This wasn't set up or anything. It's purely kind of just natural. What do you want to ask?
So all good in theory, but what if the priest wants to keep a tighter control, does not want this in his church?
That's why we got to get rid of the priesthood. No, no. Ah, just joking. No. Okay. This is a new concept. And by the way, even in the diocese, we're talking about, like in the diocese, we were talking, the other day I was talking to, you know, how the diocese wants to support all the priests through this model.
Wow.
They need it. Oh my gosh.
Could you imagine?
Which diocese? This one?
Well, I don't know if they're going to, but I was sitting down with the people that do it, and they said, okay, Andre, you're here. So you got 110 priests. You have about 20 twos. You have about 7 threes. And then you have the vicar priest, and then you have someone coaching him. And it's all about what's happening in the parish, not what, you know, their beef with the world. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be awesome? Mm-hmm. All right. So, but the priest in a parish may or may not get this. They want all the power. They don't want all the power because they were threes with 100 twos. And they had no power, so they're trying to rein it in. They're in panic mode. But they would welcome this. Some may not, but they would welcome this because they actually want to raise up people taking responsibility. But I'm just going to finish answering the question. I'll say that, and I'll mention it today, this would be the last session, that
That's, we start with grassroots up. Yeah, what I'm going to suggest, you start small so Father's not intimidated. You're hidden and you're just building capacity of leaders. And you're always informing Father, but eventually, you know, you have a director of evangelization. Now he's, you know, you've built up something. You're,
just wondering where, because there's no direct line from the pastor to the participants. So what is the role of things like Mass and confession? Like the actual sacraments.
Well, this is not even, I'm not even getting into kind of the other aspects of the parish. Of course, all these people have to be integrated into the parish. This is purely just like a little apostolate, kind of on the side. It's not replacing anything. It's just very much integrated into the, so of course all the sacraments play, you know, the significant role. And but it's not making any comment about the life, the big life of the parish, okay? Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay. But I actually want to talk a little bit about, you have a question?
Another comment.
Okay, make a comment.
Okay, we were talking about the twos. So how do you not make the twos feel like a pawn necessarily? So if you're there, if I'm a three, and you're really trying to coach two for their mission, and you're not really focusing on them, it's then how do you, do you then make extra time to spend time with them, to then check in on them personally? But then you're like doing double the amount of work. So it's that tension of, okay, how do you then, yeah, support them so they don't just feel like you're using them for the outcome? And then Andrew's kind of bringing up the idea that hopefully the twos are in community with each other. So they're getting that discipleship and care from other twos. And then the three, is that really that like missional thread? It's
yes.
Kind of a solution to that. You're not just a pawn type of,
yeah,
dynamic.
No, exactly. But okay, Andrew was coaching these two ladies, and by the way, they thought you did a great job. But they weren't. Remember, this is a parish life. Okay, they've got that. They're not interested in. We're talking parish. We're not talking. You know, like they're not interested. They've got a social life. Okay. What they're interested is, Andrew, would you help me do what I need to do? Okay? They're really not looking for community. In the parish, there's lots of community. And we should bring actually all the groups together. You know, like there should be some communal aspect. But discipleship in this model is really helping the person do what they've been commissioned to do. So, yes, it's important that the three's talking to the two about how you're doing. Like I, you know, when I got here, you know, how'd you sleep last night? Or, you know, I care. And we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, there is a certain level of rapport. But Andrew, they weren't wanting a friendship from Andrew. They were wanting Andrew to coach them to do their job. In the parish, you've only got 2 hours at most with people. They can't. Although, I would love, we're going to go golfing if we can, but that's kind of like an aside thing. But Andrew is not taking him out for dinner. He's not, you know, like going to their homes. If he could, if it worked, great. You know, that could happen. But the thinking of the evangelization director is not like, how do I get into everyone's life? You can't. But your commission to help your people. Like, I know campus ministry is much different than parish ministry. In campus ministry, you could make going out, praying with your people, you know, talking about this and, you know, involved in their lives and go camping with them. But Andrew's not going to go camping with her or go golfing or, you know, just get into their life. No, Andrew is going to spend a half an hour with you to get you to do your job.
Can I make one comment? I think we have a misconception that a three coaching a two doesn't benefit the two in any way. That's a misconception. The two is actually like, you, I don't think you ever grow in faith more than when you're actually on mission and being kind of stretched to have faith and see it. You actually grow leaps and bounds by being doing this, even though it's not focused on you. Does that make sense? Like, we have a misconception that they're not benefiting from it. But in fact, they're actually, they are growing by being going.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You somehow think that you can only grow by go hide in a cave and be a hermit. But spiritually, you actually grow more by being on mission than by sitting still and going.
Yeah, as you're teaching them to go on mission, you're talking spiritual principles and say, you know, okay, how do you intercede? How do you bring? Okay, Mary plays a huge role in helping this person come over. So why don't, here, this is a great, you know, great training on how to use a rosary as a tool of evangelization. Or, you know, like, okay, we know that, you know, this saint plays this role. Do you understand? We can help them as they're doing. And so you're right. But you had a question?
So basically, like, I think focus formed, you know. So, like, when I hear discipleship, I think, like, authentic friendship, living side by side. This is basically just an administrative structure.
This is administrative structure, but very relational in its focus. You know, this is, in a parish, we actually have to, I'll give you an example. I was down in Kansas, and I got a phone call. I was working with the diocese there, and I got a phone call from a guy that worked in campus ministry, but now he's in parish. And he was saying how excited he is. He had just started. I said, so, like, how are you doing this? And he said, well, I've got, like, in the parish, I just started like 4 months ago. I'm really busy. I've identified one or two people that I want to pour in. So I'm going to their place to eat. I'm going, you know, like, and he said, what I want to do is maybe once a week go, you know, with the prayer with the Father, go in front of the Blessed Sacrament and pray, you know. And I said, well, how many kids does the guy have? He said he had 9 children. The guy had 9 children. And I said, so how? Like, it's really hard to kind of get involved in that. So you're right. On campus, that thinking that I can get into people's lives works. But it does not translate over to parish. Not saying you can't go eat with somebody, but that is not. This is really an org structure. You know, like, this is how we see our ministry. Because if you bog down and get into people's lives at a parish level, it's not going to work because everyone has lives. Mortgages, jobs, children, you know. Go ahead.
So our whole focus is the ones. The twos are already good. The threes, of course, are really good, and Father. But everybody's focus is on the one. And the threes are supporting the twos to get to the ones. And I was in a structure like this for literacy. And just having a three tell me, this is what I noticed as you were going through your lesson today or whatever. And it was once a month they'd come and tell me that. But just from that 1 month, I could see better on how I could connect with the ones in my instruction. Just from that one time. It fueled me to do better.
Yes.
It was amazing.
Yes. I'm going to build on that. That's bang on. Like, I did campus ministry for a long time, and we have students that come over, and this is a big paradigm shift, okay? Is that things actually have to be done differently. But I want you to see this. How many, this Jake, RCA, or in a discovery study, how many hours do they get with the two every week? 1 hour. Maybe one and a half hours. Not too much more. Maybe 2 hours on the top end, okay? But meaning, let's say an hour to 2 hours. The two invest in the one, okay? But if you think about it, the two goes and talks to the three about the one. So not only does the one get 2 hours of the two, but he also gets the wisdom of the three. Okay? But the Father is talking to the three about the two, so how the two can do a better job with the one, meaning the one's also getting the best of Father. Father's vision is coming down the line. You know, Father's kind of prayer and intercession is getting right to Jake because it's kind of going, you know, it's going down the line. But Jake is also telling the two how he's doing. And the three's talking about, okay, how is he doing? And now how Jake is doing is getting all the way up to Father. So Father actually gets to smell his sheep. Do you understand? Like, in theory, but you understand that the fact that the it's going downstream, everything is going downstream, by the way. This model, everything is kind of, you know, a reservoir. Okay? And hoping that it'll leak into this. We're saying, no, let's get this river flowing right down to the lost. This is the most, the participant is the most important person in our parish. Because we want them to be a two, someday be a three, and maybe some will end up being priests and nuns and husband and wives, you know. Okay, does that make sense? Any other questions? We're going to take a break and then go into the next section.
One more thing.
Yeah. No, I love the fact that you're excited about this.
So say the principal was like the father in some situations. She would hear back that Jake was having a hard time on something. So guess what? When she'd come visit my room, even without me telling her, she would focus in on him and just check up on him. So it was just an amazing process.
People matter. No, actually, no. We could put people over programs. Have you ever heard that? People over programs? I say people through programs. Meaning this person, Jake, matters. He's not just part of a group. The church is really good at gathering people. Every Sunday we tell a bunch of people, retreats, conferences. By the way, they're really important. Large groups are really important. But that's usually how we minister to our people. Trainings, you know, like, rarely do we stop and say, hey, I'm going to equip. Like, we might equip a professional position. You're the director of evangelization, okay. But what if you're just a regular parishioner? Am I intending to raise you up as a leader someday? No, usually it's kind of by chance. You know, they have to come knock on a door instead of us going and initiating this whole process. So let's take a break. And do you know where they are? Are they in the break? I'm gonna go spend some time with them. When you guys come back, you guys can just talk through this. But yeah, is this kind of, this would be definitely a paradigm shift. Huh?
We know Jay, I don't know about the paper, but you got it.
Okay. Yeah.